this morning, the theme that we'll be looking at is being filled by the Spirit. Being filled by the Spirit. We have two parts to cover. Today, I just want to bring forth, you know, the hunger in you for the Holy Spirit. Because it says being filled by the Holy Spirit. But my subtopic is why the need? Why the need? Because if we are able to tackle this very all-important question, it births out the hunger and thirst in us for the Holy Spirit. But if we just superficially talk about, oh, we need the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, probably you might still continue to see no need for Him at this very time in your life. So that is why the subtitle is called, Why the Need? And our theme, scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I read, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I want you to keep this in your mind. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So in the midst of this, let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's bow down our head for prayer. Now I just want you to pray that may the good Lord enlighten your heart this morning to know Him more and why there's a need for His Spirit. I want you to pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Father, we thank You. We bless You this very moment. We thank You for this great opportunity we have to sit at Your feet. We surrender ourselves into Your hands. Come speak to us. Guide our spirit and soul. And let us live to walk before You. May Your perfect will be done. I pray, surrender myself into Your hands. Speak through me. And may Your children hear Your voice, not my voice. Let Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. With thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Amen. Last week, by God's grace, Pastor Perry took us through the book of Joel. We had a summary of it. And I just want us to have a recap of what we learned last week. So if you were not here, at least you have a sense of what we did last week. The book itself, as I said, we have three chapters. And then, as we went through, for me, I don't know how you term the book. But for me, I see the book of Joel. God in the book of Joel is a sovereign God. Why is He a sovereign God? Because remember, He calls us to repentance, right? We've driven away from Him. We've moved away from Him. But because He's so loving, He calls us to come back. And He says, even in the midst of our sins, and we have brought pain, burden upon ourselves, and even as He has released His agent of judgment into our lives, He says, I am the very person who drive this agent of judgment away from you. So I see God as sovereign in such a way that even when we sin, there's no sense in running away from Him. It's rather running to Him. Why? Because He has mercy. He has grace. And He's very compassionate. So David said, it's better for me to fall in Your hands than in the hands of my enemies, because they are very cruel. But with You, there is mercy. So in the book of Joel, God really shows His love to us. And the climax of it was in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, right? God knew that we needed something to make that relationship with Him very solid and formidable. And that is the Holy Spirit. And that is why He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour My Spirit upon you. On everybody. No distinction. Everybody is. We have the right because He's given it to us to receive the Holy Spirit. So that opens the door for today's, you know, topic. Being filled by the Holy Spirit. But like I said, we need to ask the question, why should I be led by the Holy Spirit? We are saying we need to be led. God promised in the book of Joel that he is going to pour his Spirit. The question is, why do we even need the Holy Spirit? If we really come to understand this why, because as human beings, we have this egocentric sentiment in us, everybody. Whenever you've been asked to receive something or do something, the first question that comes to mind is, what can I get from it? What can I get? You see, as servants of God, this shouldn't be the question should we ask. We should rather ask, Master, what can I do for you? Rather than what can I get from it? But it is human sentiment. It is in us. And that is why we want to tackle it in the church. So that henceforth, when we think about this Holy Spirit, then you really know why you need the Holy Spirit. So in answering that question, I want us to pose three different questions to guide us. The first of all, who are you? As you sit here this very morning, who are you? And then, what is your mandate? Having known who you are, what is your mandate here on earth? Are you just passing by? Or there's a purpose upon your life? And then finally, how can you fulfill that mandate? So I think these three questions are going to guide us to know, and then be able to move forward and be able to understand if our good Father talks about the Holy Spirit, why the need of it, we can really clearly talk about it. So let's start with the first one. I read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The scripture says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Now today I'll be using the KJV, that King James Version, for emphasis sake. So here, if we clearly come to understand that as we sit here, none of us began as we are sitting today. We all began like children, right? So this is the truth about everybody. We all began like children, and we grew, and today we are at this stage of our life. The same thing shall come to mind. Who are you? Do you believe in the creation story that you were made by a God who loves you, or you believe in other worldviews that talks about different things? So here, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the scripture says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, the scripture is telling where we began from, our initiation, where we began from. And I think if we get to know that, it really helps us to really understand. So, in the book of Jeremiah, it also talks about something. It says, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. I read, now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were formed, I knew you. And let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So really, you need to understand that when you talk about your soul, you are not the soul that the good Lord is talking about here. Look at it. Because he said in Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. So whom did God knew before the body was formed? Before he breathed into him? That is what we're going to talk about today. So let's look at, using the Bible to explain itself. We're looking at the principle of first mention or occurrence with the word form. In Genesis chapter 2, that was where the first time it was used. And then Jeremiah also talks about it. And in all this sense, it's using the same Hebrew word, that is yasar. And with the yasar, it is meant to mold into form. Before the good Lord molded you into form, before your mom conceived you, became a fetus, and then began to grow in your mother's womb for him to bring you out, the good Lord said, he knew you. So what did God knew about you? In that case, if we want to know really who we are, or in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So if there's anybody who can tell us the image of God, I think we can't run away from Jesus Christ. He's the only person who knows the form of God. Nobody. So let's see, how does Jesus Christ describe God? In John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit. And the Greek word is used here is pneuma. That is the Greek word. And they that worship him must worship him in pneuma and in truth. So God is saying, you have something of me. You have my spirit in you. That makes you being able to stand before me. And that is the pneuma, the spirit of God in you. God's spirit is in you. It is God's spirit that makes you now, as you've been sanctified in Christ Jesus, you've been saved in Christ Jesus. Remember, it is your spirit that stands before God. It is your spirit that stands before God. So God knows your spirit, and that is why he says those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God will never ask us to do something we can't provide. God created you in his image. So the Latin word that is used is imago Dei. I'm sure probably you've heard this word, imago Dei. That is the image of God. You bear the image of God. So, Jesus Christ, in his Sermon on the Mount, the first message that came from his mouth is Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says, blessed are the poor in pneuma. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven. You bear the image of God. You see, when we begin to understand the nature of human beings and who we are, it lays a foundation for how to understand the dignity of man, the value of man, and how we need to relate to one another. So, in the book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God condemns murder, right? He says, whosoever murders from the hand of man, his blood will be shed. And if you go to the book of James, chapter 3, verse 9, it talks about you use your mouth to bless. And the same time, use this mouth to curse somebody who has been made in the image of God. So, you sitting here, you bear God's imago Dei. We bear the image of God. And that is what separates us from any other created thing in this world. So God looks at us. God created us in his own image. Why did he do that? That on earth, we will have the flesh to live here on this earth, to take care of the responsibilities he has assigned unto us. Take control of the earth, make sure we protect it. And at the same time, when we get saved, That is why when we get saved, it is not our soul that gets saved. No, it is your spirit. That essence of God that brings you back to your Father is what gets saved. And you read from Genesis here, because probably you'll be saying, in Genesis, God's spirit, what about in the New Testament? Let us go further and see how the scripture describes itself. We look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It says, And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of deep. And the Spirit of God, that is the Ruach in Hebrew word, was moved upon the face of the waters. So God's Spirit in the Old Testament is described as Ruach. Now let's see in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit, Ruach, shall return to God who gave it. So your spirit never dies. Your spirit has eternal state, either with God or in eternity, damnation, hell, forever. Your spirit has eternal state. That is, to stay with God forever or to stay in hell forever. And in that case, if we really understand that it is our spirit that gets saved, isn't that it comes to mind why the Bible continues to pounce on us to walk in the Spirit, being filled by the Spirit? Because God engages us through our spirit. God does not engage us through your flesh. He engages us through the Spirit. So when you look at the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, what does it say? It talks about, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, that is your pneuma, and your soul and your body, be preserved blamelessly until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So really, as you sit, if indeed you've given yourself to Christ, Christ Jesus has birthed you out. What I want to tell you this morning, and why the Bible continues to pounce on us to always be fed by the Spirit, is that, one, you are a spirit being. I want you to get this into the very DNA of your very nature, that you are a spirit. And that spirit in Bible mostly is used as heart. And then you have a soul. What is the soul? Remember, if you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 2, it says, and God formed man and breathed into his nozzle, and he became a living soul. So living soul is the combination of God's breath and the formed body. Your living soul is the combination of God's breath and your formed body. And that is why, you know, you go to the book of Ezekiel, it says, the soul that sins shall die. Your spirit never dies. And I just want to bring to your attention, that is why, you know, there are spirits around us. There are spirits around us. If you don't have God's gift of the formed body and his breath into you, you can't live here in this world. There are so many spirits around us. We can't deny their existence. Yes, they are. And that is why we have six different voices around us. Six different voices. And the first voice that we talk about is the voice, a sanctified voice in us, called our spirit. Our spirit has a voice. And the voice of our spirit is called conscience. Conscience. The good things that has been, you know, been seen by, and then through that is able to guide us on moral life, how to live a life that brings glory to God. And then also we have a second one, that is the voice of this world. Your voice, as called conscience, is inaudible. Inaudible means it doesn't come out. It ranges in your mind, in your heart. And then the voice of the world, as we know, is also inaudible. It's through the lust of the eye. It entices. It leads you into carnality, into things around you that makes you lustful, want to enjoy, because you see others doing it. And then the third voice is the voice of Satan. That one also is inaudible. And what does the devil does? He always wants us to rebel against God. Always be disobedient against God. And then the fourth voice is the voice of demons. The voice of demons. Demons are associates of Satan. They work his path here on earth. And sometimes the voices of demons are inaudible. Inaudible in the sense that they rage in our hearts, in our minds. But sometimes they are audible. Because, no, they cannot live in this world. So they need to use something that lives on this earth. So they can possess, we call them possession. They possess people. That is why Jesus Christ encountered with the guy who was, you know, in the tomb. Who has been, you know, staying in the tomb. When moment he met Jesus Christ, he said, why are you here to this? Our time is not up. Could you please lead us to the pigs? So, and even if you've encountered places of deliverance, the demon before they use those people they possess. So demons cannot, you know, fully manifest here. So they use people's voice. So you need to be very careful with the voices. And then also we talk about voice of our fellow human beings. This one is audible. Just your friend, your brother, your mother, whosoever is with you. They are voices. It is audible. But this voice can be good, could be bad. So that is why everything needs to be matched up with the litmus test. That is God's word. And the final voice is God's voice. God's voice. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. What does he do? He always leads us to the Father. And it is inaudible. So you could see that we have all these voices raging around us. In that case, how do you distinguish between these and the Holy Spirit? And that is the journey we are on. We are moving on. Because it is very important as Christians for us to embrace that and walk in that. So now, you being a spirit being, you have a soul and you live in a body. That is the physical body. So because of that, the Bible tells you, you have a mandate. And that mandate, without the strength from above, you cannot fulfill it. So in that case, let's look at what is our mandate. What is our mandate? We read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. I read, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt have the Lord thy God with all your heart. You shall love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So the question is, can we, any of us here, do this without the strength of the Holy Spirit? It is not possible. And then another mandate, we look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13. And we just keep the 13, leaving the 14, you read it. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is our duty. This is our mandate. That is why we were created. To love God, to honor him, to serve before him. This is our mandate. And Psalm 100 verse 3 and 4 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people. The sheep of his pasture. Now, having established that, we need to understand that we were made. He calls us into action. Our mandate. And what is our mandate? He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and with courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. We are called to action to honor his name. That is our mandate. That is our mandate. To live before the Father, to honor him, to worship before him. And then further, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27 says, God knowing that we cannot. Remember, one thing we have to understand is that right from the beginning, God made man to have a good relationship with him. God could relate to God anywhere in the garden. God could write to him. But remember, sin, the moment sin entered into the room, it destroyed this relationship. It broke God's image He made it mad. So man's relationship with God become tarnished, broken. And we cannot get back to God. And as a result of that, God has sought ways to bring us back. And he gave his promise also in the book of Genesis. Right after the fall, God promised that through the woman, the virgin who's going to give birth, and then the seed of the woman, is going to crush the head of the serpent. And the serpent is going to bruise the heel. So right from the beginning, God laid his foundation. And even the scripture says, prior to the creation, the foundation of the earth, God had a plan for us. God had a plan, total plan for you and I, that we could come back. And that coming back is in Jesus Christ. So God, knowing that we cannot do it on our own, he gave his promise through Prophet Joel. As we've read, he said, there's going to come a time when everything has been done well, when I'm satisfied with the sanctification of your spirit, I'm going to pour into you, because that is what you need to serve me. So further, Ezekiel also gave a prophecy. He says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my commandment and do them. So without the Spirit of God, there is no way we can serve God. And remember, Jesus Christ said, God is a spirit. All those who worship him are worshiping in spirit and in truth. So if your spirit is still contaminated, mad with sin, there is no way you can enjoy his spirit, to love him, to live for him. So it brings to mind the book of Joel, the promise. So both Ezekiel and Joel, God made mention, because he knew that we needed it. We needed his spirit. So the question is, how can we fulfill our mandate, knowing our mandate to serve God in holiness, in truth, knowing that we need to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our mind, and we cannot. He says we look to his promise, the promise that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because he is the only sacrifice that brings us back to God. And Jesus Christ's conversation with Nicodemus did not understand, as I did not understand previously, as you did not understand the strength of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus Christ is saying, yeah, there is something that you need to get. You need to experience what we call the new birth experience. Without the new birth, it is not possible. So that was the conversation Jesus Christ was having with Nicodemus. Yeah, from ages, from the time of deliverance from Egypt, right through your exile and you coming back, you've been trying to serve God, but you are not getting it. And the time has come. And the time that has come is the Son of Man to take away the sins of the world and sanctify that soul that was broken. That soul, that image of God that was broken before God because of sin, and bring you back to your Father. And in this conversation, here it moves further. It says, Jesus made mention, say, and no one puts new wine into old skin. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskin. What he's saying is that you cannot continue to worship God the way you used to worship him, because now we are in new covenant. And this new covenant is established in his Son. And to worship God through faith, by the power and deliverance from his Son, you need a new spirit. You need a new spirit. Because now, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, he saves your soul instantly, instantly. That broken glass. You see, let's look at it in this way. You have a beautiful mirror in your house, for which always, whenever you want to look good, you stand in front of the mirror. You check your hair and then so and so forth. One day, you come back home. You see the mirror broken, cracked. Can you still stand in the mirror and enjoy that good look you used to have previously? It is not possible. That was our imago Dei before God, before sin came in. And when sin came in, it crushed everything. And this one needs to be restored in a good relationship with the Father. And that was the work Jesus Christ came to do for you and I, that we can have that relationship with the Father. So Jesus Christ saying, yeah, you've heard about God's word, but you can't continue to serve him as you used to soon. That was why Apostle Paul, when he came to Ephesus, he said he met some fellow brothers who have received Jesus Christ. And then he asked them, after receiving Christ, did you receive the baptism experience? The Holy Ghost baptism? He said, no, we've not heard about the Holy Ghost about baptism. And he prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. From there, people can serve God. So really, it is very important. What Jesus Christ is saying is that it is impossible for us to serve God without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible to serve God with a diligent heart without the Holy Spirit. We need him. We need him urgently. And that was why Jesus Christ said, it is to your advantage that I go. That if I go, then he will come. And when he comes, is then that you can. So Jesus Christ said, wait. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, say, wait, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the utter parts of the earth. Now we've set ourselves to honor God, to worship him. We set our heart to share his word. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes it different. Makes us different, make the word that we speak different in the ears of people. Because as we speak, people hear different things, but it's the Holy Spirit who convicts the heart for salvation be made to them. So it is very important that we begin to know that it is not possible. As you read the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can you do this without the power of the Holy Spirit? It is not possible. I don't think so. And I would encourage you to do that. We go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 8. I read, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, let me spend a little bit of time here and then explain a little bit here. You see, when we get saved, our spirit is saved. When we get saved, when we give our life to Christ, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he saves our spirit. Now, our spirit is brand new. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. So the moment we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, our spirit is reformed, renewed, a brand new imago Dei before God. And it is the spirit who leads our spirit to influence our soul, for us to manifest in our physical body, for the world to see and give glory to God. So, if you are a Christian and you continue to allow your soul, the thought of your mind, to guide you instead of the spirit guiding you, we say you live in the flesh. You live in the flesh. But if you allow the spirit of God, by God's word, to always sanctify you and guide you in your experience, in your work towards everyone, He said, you live in the spirit. Why? Because the spirit of God is leading your spirit to influence your soul, to influence your body, and it comes out. So let me tell you this. Let me give you a head up. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, Jesus Christ was not speaking to, you know, sinners. He was talking to those who have spirits have been saved. He said, they said, we use your name to prophesy. We use your name to heal. We use your name. And he said, go away. I never knew you. Because if you read the scriptures, those who have not received Christ, they are called objects of wrath before God. So for them, their issue is different. So really, if we want to live for the Father, it is very important for us to hunger for the Holy Spirit. It is for us to hunger. So the scripture says, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in spirit. Let us walk in the spirit. Let us keep in step with the spirit. And for all who are led by God, they are the spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Those who are led by the spirit. So the question I'm asking you, as you sit here, are you led by the spirit of God or you are led by your own emotions, your own intuitions, your own experience, your own thoughts? Is it what is leading you? Remember, God's word is truth. He said, those who are led by his spirit, they are the sons of God. And this year, what is the theme? It's the season of the Holy Spirit, right? Why is it that? Because the good Lord wants us to know how important he is for us. And without him, we can't survive as Christians. Because if we do without him, we become very frustrated. You will always get frustrated. Because you can't see why you read the book of... Please, if you go home, find time to read the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to 21. Please find time to read. If you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you cannot live this kind of life. It is not possible. So finally, what we are saying is that you are a spirit being. If indeed you've received Christ Jesus as your Lord, your spirit needs to be restored back to his glorious state. That is what has been done in Jesus Christ. So if you have not received Christ Jesus, remember, your spirit is still that object of wrath before God. But if you have received Jesus Christ, then you've been restored into that state because of your salvation in him. And two, your soul, which comprises your intellect, your emotions, and your will, they need to go through this process of sanctification. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not possible for you to do it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is what we need. In that case, what we need the Holy Spirit? One, for empowerment. And what is the empowerment? We need to bear the fruit. He said, let your light shine that those around will see and give glory to your Father. Give glory to your Father. We need to bear the Holy Spirit and then to serve God with the talent he has given to us. So these are the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives the gift. He enables us to bear the fruit. So brothers and sisters, as we sit here, it is very, very important that we thirst and long for the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that will guide us rightly in the presence of God. He is he who sanctifies us, who brings us before the Father. He makes us live that bring glory to the Father. And that is why this very day we've begun this study to guide us. I just want you to have that thirst. Knowing that, because look, as we sit here, is it possible for us to survive without blood? Is it possible? No, we can't survive without blood, right? The Holy Spirit is our lifeblood before the Father. He is our lifeblood. So if we can think of blood, we can't survive without blood, then you can't survive before the Father without the Holy Spirit. So I want you to hunger for him, thirst for him, as you prepare yourself. And I want to charge you, I want to challenge you, that as you go out this week, I want you to hunger for him, Prepare yourself for him. Because remember, he is a gift. You are not paying anything for him. All that you need to do is to receive him into your heart. And he's always there to guide you. So may the good Lord give you that strength, that guidance to walk before him as we bring this study to a closing for today.